Good morning. We have been going through a series of wonderful scriptures, words, four words: hope, love, joy, peace. Not in that order. But these words impact us deeply, and there are words that when we look to the manger and the stable, that's the words of Christmas. Some of the words. But we've chosen these to go with Advent. We haven't lit candles. There's one little candle flickering there behind the Nativity. But Pastor Barry has encouraged us with the Word of God to light the candle, to light those candles in our hearts and then pass them on to others. And he's given me a gift, the gift of being able to preach on the candle of love. So thank you. We had a little mix-up in the beginning that I thought I was preaching on something else, and then we had a good little laugh, and I got to preach on the candle of love. So, get your hearts ready to receive. We're going to do this in a really, I think, practical way. There is a book that was written about the five love languages, and I'm going to kind of go through those because sometimes we're really fragile people, and we receive and give love in a particular way, and we think that's the way. And when we don't have our needs met that way, we think we haven't been loved. We're not allowed to give love if we're not allowed to give it in that way. So today we're going to go look through the scriptures because I want you to see, God wants you to see, never mind what I want. God wants you to see that he, when sending Jesus, the gift of love, he has loved us in all those five love languages. So if your love tank is empty or dry or cracked, would you, with each love language, receive that in that moment? Just allow the Lord to fill you. Because at the very end, I'm going to challenge us to perhaps learn a new love language. Because that will set us free. It's all right to love people in your love language. But to learn a new language and embrace that and love others in their love language, that's really, really spectacular. So, what we're going to do also to have a little fun, have you ever played the game Pass the Parcel? In Sunday school we have. Do you guys remember those sometimes painstakingly Christmas parties where we had to unwrap a parcel and then on the card it said, the person who did has to play, I don't know, Ring Around the Rosie, sing Merry Christmas with Pastor Chris or Olu. We're going to pass the parcel today. But when you unwrap the first wrapping, when it's your turn, you don't have to do anything. You just have to read the card in the scripture and you get to keep the little card. But the very end one, there is a little prize. But the prize will be shared. Does that sound good? So, I should tell you, first of all, what the love languages are. Does anybody know? Can you shout them out? Words of affirmation? Yes. Quality time, exactly. Giving gifts? Whispers, I just hear whispers. Physical touch, yeah. Pardon? Acts of service, yes, you're right. So, whose love language is words of affirmation? Who's in? Tara, did you put up your hand? Okay. So the only rule with this is, Tara, once you've received this, when it's time to pass it, you can't pass it to this section. You have to find another section, okay, so that it goes everywhere, so that's fair. Yes, you can open it because the first, and see, this is the scripture, 1 John 4:9, God showed how much he loved us by sending us his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. So I want you to know God first loved us. He first loved us. He first filled up our love tank so full that we could give it out. And so get that into your hearts. People who identify with the words of affirmation love language are deeply impacted by words, positive or negative. There are folks who say to tell you, "Wow, John, what a great job you did. I love the way you do chocolates." Or they could say, "I don't know, that last one was a dud." And if you're a words of affirmation guy, you'd think, "Oh no, I knew I shouldn't have chosen that one." But if words don't matter that much to you, you think you could have just said thank you for the present, right? But if you are a words of affirmation person, that would impact you. By the way, I've never had one of your chocolates that didn't taste fantastic. As you unwrap this first layer, and Tara, you have it, you will find that Jesus speaks words of life, hope, encouragement, and affirmation because he is the word of life to us and hope for us. And he always speaks the truth in love. Whoops. Jesus is calling. Here we go, the scripture that Tara has received and she can keep. Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 2a. In these days, God is speaking to us by his Son, Jesus. He is the living letter to us from God. Jesus never leaves us. He never forsakes us. In John 10, verse 27, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Isn't that great? Jesus speaks to us, and the promise is that we will follow him when we hear his voice. Jesus knows what he should say exactly to you. And if you open your ears, you can hear him. He speaks your language. I know sometimes in this beautiful gathering, we have very many different accents. And those of us who have immigrated, sometimes we make mistakes in speaking in language, and sometimes people think, I don't know what you're saying. But we will understand every word that Jesus says to us, because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is in our hearts, and he will interpret things to us. There's never a thing where you have to say to Jesus, "I don't get what you're saying to me," because he knows you, and he will say exactly what you need to hear. He speaks the universal language that we can all understand. He is the personification of love. We do not need an interpreter. I remember growing up in the Apostolic Church, we would have pastors come from Denmark, and we would have people who were bilingual. And once in a while, the pastor, the Danish pastor, would say, "Stop, no, 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 not right," in German. And then they would have a little discussion, and then the message would be just said in a different way. But you know what? The Holy Spirit in us will tell us exactly what Jesus wants to hear. And that is the promise, that Jesus knows exactly what we need to hear. And he is just, he's in your hearts. He dwells in you. So he will speak to you, and you will know what he's saying to you. And when he has to tell us something to correct us, he will always do it in love. It won't be the words of condemnation that we might receive from others. Would you pass the parcel, please, to someone else? Not in this section. Does somebody love quality time in a different section? Does somebody love quality time? Who loves? Oh, there in the back, there's quality time, people. People who identify with quality time love language feel most love when you spend time giving them your undivided attention. And I love my husband dearly, but quality time to him means, "Chris, come sit beside me and watch the hockey game." We are together, yes. Do I have his undivided attention? No. So, these folks relish one-on-one time without distraction. Look at Matthew 1:23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Always. God is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always present with us, ever present. And he longs to draw near to us. He longs for us to come and seek him out. He first drew near to us, and he sent his son to be with us. Max Lucado wrote in the book God Came Near, Christ entered our world. As a result, we can enter his. You know, the other day we were at our son and daughter-in-law's house having supper, and Riley, their twins, 3 years old, said to Opa, "Opa, can you please put on poppy music?" So he's looking in his book. Lucas sees Chris doing that, and he says, "Opa, put the phone away," because Lucas is a time quality time person, and he was really miffed at Chris. "You just interrupted our time." Riley was happy because she loves doing things, acts of service, and she knew her Opa was just doing what she asked him to do. Same situation, different takes on it. And we can be in the same room and think someone isn't with us, someone isn't loving us, when they really are. And God is always, always with us. It's quality time is about creating moments to connect. And God wants you to connect with him. He is already connected with us. But this time of fasting and prayer is coming up. How exciting is it that we can set time aside to spend that quality, amazing time with our Lord? He can enter your world anytime, on your knees, in the car, washing dishes. He is ever present. Isn't that beautiful? God with us. Give the parcel away to someone who loves acts of service, who identifies with acts of service. Acts of service. There you go, Liz. People who identify with acts of service, love language, feel most love when you do something, you show you care. Action is essential to communicating that you truly care or love them. They usually will say things like, "What can I do for you?" If you have an empty gas tank, all of a sudden, like in my house, the tank is filled. Coffee is served in bed. Because Chris is an acts of service guy. And it's so wonderful to have someone like that around you. But they also love to receive love language in that way. And it's crazy to me. I can have spent time with him and talked my little head off to him. But when he comes home and he'll see the bed is made in a special way or the dishes are done, it's like I've given him the best gift. "Wow, you made the bed today. Yay, thank you. It's so good." So the scripture that is in Liz's little treasure is Matthew 20:28. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." These acts need to be done in a loving spirit of self-sacrifice like Jesus did, without giving the person the receipt for how much this action has cost you. You can't say, "I'll do this for you, but boy, did it take a lot out of me. You know I'm tired, but I'll do it for you anyways." No, these acts of service need to be done in a self-sacrificing way like Jesus did. When given in that spirit, the recipient of that gift will feel loved, appreciated, and burdens are lifted. Wondrous acts of service requires being in tune with a person so much that you know exactly what their needs are, and you know one before time. God knew exactly what we needed. We needed someone to come and save us. So he sent Jesus. Before we were born, he thought about us. He thought about that gift of service we would need, and he sent him. And all we have to do is receive it. Jesus never made people feel that they interrupted him. He was tired. He washed dirty feet And I don't read anywhere that he complained and grumbled about how dirty 12 feet made the basin of water. He put others first when he was tired and hungry. And that's, we can see that in the story of the woman at the well. He wanted something to drink, but he saw a soul in need, and so he put her needs ahead of his. Again and again, even on the cross, Jesus looked, and he was suffering. He looked at John and his mama, and he said, "John, would you take care of my mom for me?" Isn't that great? And you know what? If we cannot love like that, when we first receive God's love in our heart like that, he'll give us the capacity to do that. Where is the parcel? In the back. We are going to go on to, oh, this side of the room. Is anyone there who identifies with the love language of physical touch? No one's going to admit that. Okay, Sean, thank you. That was the weak link in this. When you will open that up, you will see this scripture, Luke 5:13. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. People who identify with a physical touch love language feel most loved when they receive a warm and timely touch from someone they love. It has to be warm and timely. I remember in another church, there was this lovely lady, and she was, I'll put it mildly, very strong. She was built very strong. And she loved people so much that she would come and grab them, and you will be locked in almost a death grip. And if you were a short person, you wouldn't be able to breathe. I need not say more. And once in a while, the pastor there, when he saw this lady coming towards him, would say, "Chris, help me." Intercept. Receive that hug. But you know what? She just loved people so much, and she wanted to squeeze every little bit of love that she felt in her heart into the people. And it was good sometimes. There was little children who were a little afraid, I will admit, but she just wanted to love people, you know? And studies show that infants who were not nuzzled, cuddled, or held would stop growing physically. They can end up dying. We all need that love language in our life. Whether it's first on the list or it comes in fifth, we all need it. Can you imagine Jesus walking on earth where lepers were not allowed to be touched? It's bad enough that you have to live somewhere else, but you can't be touched. And we see that in nursing homes. People don't get that loving touch, that loving hug, and they don't thrive. Jesus came, and he touched people. He touched them with healing hands. He rescued Peter with a touch of his hand when he was drowning. He brought people back to life with a touch. He is so amazing. He will come near. There's nothing we can do to make Jesus not come near to us and touch us. Even children, imagine in a day of no hand sanitizer, running noses, sticky little children. I bet you they weren't spotlessly clean when Jesus drew them near. There's no way that would have happened. From creation on, God breathed his breath into Adam. He's always reaching and touching humanity. Jesus is strong enough to save, yet gently enough to hold kids. You don't have to be a hugger to touch people this way. A hand on the shoulder is enough. Just open, we need to open ourselves up to receive touch, a touch from Jesus and from other people. It is amazing that this love language is the one that people kind of put into one slot. But touch is very important to life itself. And the hand of Jesus, his touch, will make us whole. next? Can you guess what it is?
Yes, who said that?
Ah, 2 Corinthians 9:15. We are to be saying thanks to God for His indescribable gift. That is the gift of all gifts. We cannot describe it. People have tried in songs, in the scriptures, but we cannot truly ever describe this wonderful gift. For people who identify with receiving gifts love language, Christmas time can be the most wonderful time of the year or the most terrible time of the year. You can receive an amazing gift or one you think is thoughtless or no gift. You can receive a gift you were expecting or find something that is totally unexpected. But it would be really a big mistake to interpret this love language as shallow. To these folks, considerate gifts are a tangible representation that you know them well. And if you receive a gift that you think is a dud, maybe think that that person really thought you needed that gift. If you were expecting a ring, but the person gave you time for a spa, he might have thought, I think you were really tired. You needed that more than anything. But that can really trip us up. For them, gift giving isn't about the grandest or the prize of the present. It's about the thoughtfulness that the gift shows to the receiver. God's gift to us is grand. It's priceless. It cost Him everything. And you know how He presented it to us the first time? Wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. In this gift, it was intentional. We can see that God thought about us, our needs before we were even born, and that need put a plan into motion that we in the world would receive the amazing gift of life eternal, a Savior. We can see the thought behind the gift is an expression of love, a tangible, I love you and I was thinking about you kind of gift, because God is love and God is a person. Waiting for us to accept this gift of salvation is the person, Jesus, our Savior. So, the girls read this passage so beautifully. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. That you is personal. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Do you need to receive any of these gifts today? God wants to ignite your heart with love. And when I thought about the analogy of flame and candle and love, I realized our hearts are fragile. We don't want this big flame to come and burn our hearts in a hurtful way, but God's love will burn softly. It will glow in your hearts. He came to earth. He's the Word of life, and He can bring hope to your hearts. He is God with us, Emmanuel, always near. Invite Him into your heart. Take time this Christmas to be still and give Him undivided focus. The psalmist writes, where can I run away from your presence? It's another promise that God is always with us. Jesus longs to take your burdens and wash your feet and serve you at His table of love. He has set a table for us personally, each individual. He knows exactly what our greatest needs are, and He longs to meet them. Do you need to feel the loving and healing touch of Jesus today? He will come near. He is near, and He won't hold back. We are not too unclean or too untouchable for Him. He longs to reach out and touch Him to receive wholeness. Maybe you've never received the gift of Jesus as your Savior. Today can be the day. It's as easy as unwrapping a gift. Get the gift, tear the paper open, take what's inside. A, admit that you have sinned and have lived life without God. B, believe that Jesus is God, your Savior. And C, confess. Tell someone about what you've done today. That's number one consideration. Number two, I want us to think about something. Have we received love and given love only in one way? Do you think we could learn another love language? Could you start by learning, really deeply learning, the love language of your best friend, your partner? Because when you love them that way and the world around us, something really great will happen, because God is going to grow your capacity to love so that you are not limited to the one you speak alone. You might have been hurt in giving a gift that you think, nobody wants this from me anymore. But could you learn a new language and think that, maybe God is telling me you are capable of being bilingual, trilingual, I don't know what five is, multilingual? Could we be like God, learn new languages? Because God does that in us. He doesn't do things to us. He will do that in us. And if we allow Him to teach us new ways to love people, to love each other, we're going to learn new ways to love Him as well. He will speak to us. Love is bigger. Open your heart to receive love and give it away this Christmas in new ways. Could we have the last parcel handed to either Beth or Duncan? And when they unwrap this parcel, they will have something to share with everyone. And they will be at the back door and they will hand out what's there. And you know what it is? Two little things. A little sweet treat, that's a candy cane. And candy canes do remind us of Jesus. And a little scripture verse. On one side is a verse of promise, and on the other side is a prayer. You're going to take home God with you, a promise from Jesus. And they will practice learning new love languages by doing acts of service if that's not their love language. And you will each receive one as you go. Why don't we pray?